You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Galatians 5. I think we'll start there and just see where we wind up. Actually, I've got more than I can share tonight, which is not unusual. And I just got some thoughts running in me, running through my spirit, and I want to get out. And I believe it'll help you. I believe it'll bless you. It'll be based on the Word. And, I believe you'll walk out of here better than you walked in Jesus' name. Amen. We're called by God to live right, live holy, and live before Him. I understand and realize there's no way you and I or anyone will ever live perfect enough to go to heaven. We're going because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like the song Mike sang. If it weren't for the blood, our sins would not be washed away. No question about that. There's no way you can go to heaven or I can go to heaven on our goodness. We're just not that good. And if you thought you were, I'm here to pop your bubble tonight. You're not. But Jesus is. Hallelujah. That's what's so good. He's for you, not against you, and He paid the price for you. And that's what grace is all about. Grace is where you get what you didn't deserve. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve. So God's merciful in that you don't go to hell which you deserve it, and He's graceful and favored us. We're going to heaven when we don't deserve heaven. Are you with me? We deserve hell, we get to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Good stuff. And it's all because He loves us. Amen. Don't ever think it for any other reason. It's not about numbers. It's not about statistics. It's not about God playing odds. It's not about a big game He's got going out here, a chess game, and you're a pawn on the board. No. It's not about puppets on a string, and He's just pulling you around here and there, manipulating you here, manipulating you there, and God's just having a big time. He just likes to play games. This is not an app on iPhones. Are you with me? God really loves us. He really does. He really cares about us. And He wants all of us to go to heaven. And he's saddened and grieved when people don't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. He takes no pleasure. He gets no pleasure out of the judgment of the wicked, the destruction of the wicked, or the death of the wicked. He does not gloat over that. He doesn't get pleasure over that. It happens. He doesn't want it to be that way. He woos us. He compels us. He calls us. His arms are extended. He's saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." And He will not cast out or reject anyone that comes to Him. The clarion call, "Come to me, come, come, come," is out there. He wants everyone to go to heaven, but everyone doesn't accept the call. That's called free will. But God doesn't enjoy that. He doesn't like that. But He won't make you go to heaven. No one goes to heaven kicking and screaming. No one goes to heaven against their will. No one's made to serve God in the sense that they're forced to. No, you have a choice to do that. And even after you're saved, when you're born again, you still have to make choices if you want to live right and live holy. And the way you got saved was by faith and trusting in God. The way you're going to serve God and live right is by faith and by trusting God. I think sometimes we get a little confused there. We get to thinking, okay, I'm saved, now it's up to me. Well, it never was up to you. It was up to you to accept His strength, His offer, His work. And it's still up to you now that you are a Christian to accept His help and His ability and His, His strength to carry on the Christian life. I can't even serve God on my own. I couldn't get saved on my own, and I can't serve God on my own. I got saved by putting my trust in God, and I'm going to serve God by putting my trust in God. I'm going to live right. I'm going to overcome temptation and get better at serving God, this living holy thing, this serving God thing, overcoming temptation. I will get better at it the more I learn to trust God to help me. Are you with me? See, now, it's not just now up to my own strength now. I need to learn to do some things and tap into some strength, tap into some principles, and tap into some help that He's offering me, and allow Him to live through me. Paul said, "The life that I'm crucified with Christ," he said, Galatians 2:20. He said, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." I do not frustrate the grace of God. I love that. That's so good. Because I think sometimes we're born again, we know Jesus, we've accepted Him, we're washed in the blood. I don't know about you, but after I got saved, I remember a time or two in the last 30-something years, I sinned. Now, maybe I'm preaching the wrong crowd here. I mean, maybe you have never done that. You know, maybe you never lied or never got mad or never sinned since you got saved. But I'm just here to tell you that if you hadn't done it, it might happen. I just want to forewarn you. You might slip, you know. And so what you do, you start shooting yourself in the foot again and start condemning yourself and saying, I can't do this, I can't do this. Well, you never could do it by yourself. That was the whole point. You couldn't even get saved by yourself. How do you think you're going to live holy by yourself? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that right? So we have to learn to tap into some of His strength. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Ooh, I like that. That's so good. But see, you have to pursue that. You have to actively call on that strength. And so when you're talking about living for God, and that's this fifth chapter of Galatians, Paul talks about that a lot. He talks about the works of the flesh, and he talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And of course, the works of the flesh is what we don't want to do. And the fruit of the Spirit, that's what we do want to develop and grow. I like the way he calls that fruit, because it comes from within. It comes from what's in us. You know, what's in you is going to come out of you. So you've got to be real selective and about what you put in you, what you get in you, who you hang around, what you watch, what you see, what you read. And are you with me? Because that gets in you, and what that does is produces fruit. But see, if you'll get around God and His people and His Word and spend time with Him, you'll get that in you. And once that gets in you, then the fruit of that will be love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience. Oh, do I need that? You know, you just go through that list of things. But you can't just get up one morning and say, today I'm going to love people. I am going to bulldog my way through this, and I am going to love people. I don't care if it hair lifts the devil. Well, I mean, you know, thank God for your intestinal fortitude, I guess you'd say, and your tenacity to want to do the right thing. But, you know, you're just not that strong. You're going to slip up somewhere if that's the attitude you take. If you think you're just going to do this on your own. It's more than your own. You hadn't been on your own. You hadn't been alone a day in your life since you got saved. You think you might ought to ask for a little help here? He's with you. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And so even sometimes we think we're doing good and we're not doing so good because we're trying to do it on our own. We're not doing it by faith. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes there's a little danger there. We just think we're that good. We're that strong. Well, and we'll see people that live right and we'll say, well, I'm just not strong like they're strong. We think it has something to do with our personality or our makeup, or we'll either take the credit or we'll condemn ourselves, both which are wrong. What we need to do is learn to trust God, learn to tap into His strength, learn to pray when things go wrong, learn to stand on the Word, learn to hang around people that are serving God, because that's an important thing in life, is who you hang around with, your relationships. And so Paul's talking about here, this whole book, really, Galatians, is about our freedom in Christ and our liberty in Christ. And he even starts out in the first verse of the fifth chapter. Notice what he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And the yoke of bondage he's talking about here is the law. Thank God we're not under the law. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean we don't keep the law. That doesn't mean we don't still abide by the law in the sense that it's still wrong to kill, it's still wrong to steal, it's still wrong to lie. Are you out there? Still wrong to commit adultery, still wrong to covet. All those things, those haven't changed. That's still wrong. But see, we're not under the law in the sense that it's up to us and our flesh and our ability and our might to make it happen. We're under grace. Oh, that's better preaching. Y'all are, amen? I know you'll get it in a minute, and when you do, it'll just get crazy in here. It's going to get crazy. But see, we're not. My serving God is not under the law. And yet I am to forgive, and I am to love, and I am to live right and live holy. I'm supposed to do that. The Bible says that. I mean, but I'm not under the law to do that. On my own, trying to make it happen. I'm under grace, hallelujah. I got the power of God on me to do that now. I got the Holy Spirit to lead me into that now. I've got the Word of God and the promises of God, and I'm washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He lives in me, hallelujah, to make that happen now. What I could not do before, now I can do with His help. When I was on my own before, now I have Him in me doing it. Man, I love that. And in a broad sense, it's not so much that God's asking us to do things for Him. He's asking us to allow Him to do things through us. Well, I'm going to do this for God. Well, no, actually God's going to do that through you if you'll let Him. I'm going to forgive for God. Well, you know, He's going to forgive through you if you'll let Him. He'll love through you. He'll live holy through you if you learn to trust Him to do that through you. It's all about grace. It's all about faith. It's all about trust. It's all about a life, the life of God in us, the life of Christ in us. Tough to get a hold of. I mean, man, I've been saved 36 years, you know, and still learning, still thinking about it, still find myself trying to do it on my own sometimes and thinking I'm doing right, and I've got the right goal in mind, I'm just not going about it the right way. Hello. Yep. And sometimes I get discouraged, you know, because it doesn't seem like it's working that well because I'm not really trusting Him to do it in me. Woo! Y'all getting this? Okay. You know, Colossians tells us, what is it, Colossians 2, 7, 2, 3? It's in the Bible. I know it's in there somewhere. I think it's Colossians. Yeah, it says, as you have received the Lord Jesus, so walk you in Him. That's an interesting way to say it, isn't it? Think about what we're saying there. How did you receive the Lord Jesus? Did you get good enough to get to Jesus? Did you clean up your life enough to get to Jesus? Did you become a nice enough person, quit all your bad stuff? Or did you just, by faith, accept Him and He forgave you? And I think I don't know about you, but I received Him by faith. I wasn't that great a person when I came to Jesus. I was a lost person. I was a sinner. I accepted Him and He saved me. I came to Him by faith. As I have received Him, so walk ye in Him. I had nothing to offer Him. All I could do was trust Him and believe Him and just give Him myself and trust Him to do it. And He saved me. Anybody in here saved did the same thing, some form or fashion. Now, I need to give Him myself to love people and trust Him to love them through me. I need to give Him myself to overcome temptation and trust Him to strengthen me to overcome temptation. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Amen. So he's talking to the Galatians, and he's really getting on their case because some people had come in behind him after he preached there and started these churches in the region of Galatia, present-day Turkey is where that is, incidentally. He went through cities like Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Antioch of Pisidia. There were two Antiochs. But he preached there. He was stoned in Lystra and left for dead, and then God raised him from the dead, and he kept preaching. Boy, that must have been a sight. That's probably a good message. I'd like to have heard that message after he's raised from the dead there. But then he went back through and he preached to those cities. That's all in Acts the 13th and 14th chapter. And then he wrote this letter and sent it back to them because after he left, some Jews had come in that had accepted Jesus and told them they had to be like Jews. They had to get circumcised. They had to keep the feast. They had to keep the law. And he says, no, man, we got set free from the law. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Lamb of God. He is the bread, the manna that comes down from heaven. He is our Passover. He is our first fruits and our unleavened bread. Jesus is all that. He fulfilled all that. And so they believed, and these people told them, hey, you are Christians. You have accepted Jesus. They were all Gentile Christians. They weren't Jews. But you have to continue in the law. And so they were still trying to live right. I mean, that was... it wasn't a different goal in that respect. I mean, they were telling these Galatians, not Paul, but they were telling them, you need to live holy, you need to live right, but you can only do this through the law. Well, you're on your own, basically. It's still a matter of works, still a matter of flesh. And he said, no, wait a minute. He said, you can't even live for God without grace. You can't get saved without it, and you can't live without it. And if you think now that you're saved by grace, that now you can live for Him without grace, you are fallen from grace. The falling from grace is not just getting out and getting in sin. That's what we say, you know. Someone that's serving God and all of a sudden they get caught in sin, and we'll say, well, he fell from grace. Paul's definition of falling from grace is when you cease to put your give the glory to God and cease to trust God, and you take the credit for yourself and you do it on your own. That's falling from grace. Falling from grace is trying to get to heaven on your own, trying to be good on your own, and seeking to be justified by works instead of by grace. That's falling from grace. Falling from grace is not falling in sin. It's just quitting, it's ceasing to trust in grace. You ever been there? I've been there. I don't believe I was lost. I'm just saying I have got many times I've trusted my own ability, my own strength as a Christian to serve God, and kind of got a little sideways there. And no, I got to trust in Him to help me do this. You're not going to reach a point where you can just do this on your own. You'll never be able to do it on your own. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Amen. And that's good. God loves us. He's for us. He's a good Lord and a good Savior and a good God and a good Father. Praise God. So that's what he was addressing here. And he goes on down in, I can guarantee we won't get through with this. I'll just quit here about 8:30 or so. He says in the 16th verse, it's interesting, he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, if you will walk in the Spirit, if you will trust in the Spirit, if you'll yield to the Spirit, if you'll yield to the grace of God, if you'll believe God and trust God and ask Him to help you, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But if you go out there and you just try to not do bad things in your own strength, your way, not God's way, you try to be good your way, not God's way, you try to do it without prayer, you try to do it without the Scripture, you try to do it without Christian fellowship, not going to happen. That's not walking in the Spirit. And if you don't walk in the Spirit, you're going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Even your best effort's not going to happen. It's not going to work. I'm going to do this on my own. I don't need church. You know, I don't need to pray. I'm just going to be good and I'm going to be nice. Well, I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. You have to walk in the Spirit to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Y'all out there? For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you wish. Everybody wants to be good. I don't think anybody wants to be bad. And nobody gets up in the morning and says, I just want to be evil today. I want everybody to hate me. What bad things can I do today? I don't think people inherently want to do that. I mean, they just fall into it and not even necessarily happy with themselves. Now, there are evil people, don't get me wrong. I mean, there are people that do want to hurt others and so on and so forth. But even in their mind, they've justified it somehow, some way. They're doing it in their mind for something they think is right. They rob because they think they deserve the money. They may know it's wrong, but somehow in their mind they're thinking, I'm just not that bad. I'm not that bad, but they are. They are. We're all that bad without God. Are you with me? But even when you're trying not to do right, not do those things, you can't do that on your own. You cannot live right on your own. You can't love people on your own. You can't forgive. You can't stay calm and not get mad and upset. You can't not gossip and not criticize on your own. You cannot do that on your own. You have to walk in the Spirit not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you be led of the Spirit, 18th verse, you're not under the law. If you're led of the Spirit, not led of your own, you know, bulldog tenacity, your own trying to make it happen, trying to make it work. Tomorrow I'm going to get up and I'm going to be good. Well, by the grace of God, yeah. If you get up and pray and believe God, get in the Word and hang around God's people, yeah, you can. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But you can't do it on your own. No more than you can get saved on your own. Does that make sense? See, that's so we understand why church is so important and why reading the Bible is so important, why praying is so important. These things are paramount. You've got to do these things. What we're talking about, 22nd verse, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against us there is no law. These are fruits of the Spirit. They're not just things you go do on your own. They come from the Spirit. So if you're not in the Spirit or yielding to the Spirit or being led by the Spirit, you know, hey, you know what being led by the Spirit is. Not to complicate the matter, but when you have an unction or a pull or a warning or a red flag inside, you know, you shouldn't do that. Don't do that. Your conscience is in there and the Holy Spirit's bearing witness there. And that, don't do it. It's the Holy Spirit. Learn to Listen to your conscience and to the Holy Spirit, to your spirit and the Holy Spirit. And we have the word to go by. We have, you know when you doesn't feel right. I get talking politics and get in sin. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, we start out pretty good here. Don't like this, and what they ought to do is this. And before long, you're just mad and all get out, man. you're all twisted up in knots, you know. You're not listening to the Spirit. The Spirit's telling you, get off that. Get off. You better start praying. No, we're not praying. We're complaining. We're upset. Well, that's what we're talking about. See, you know, I mean, you sense peace and a lack thereof, you know, in your spirit. You know what's right. But you got to learn to yield to that, see, and yield to the Spirit and be led by the Spirit and not by the flesh if you're going to do this thing. Amen? So he says the fruit of the Spirit, this is the fruit of the Spirit. 24th verse, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited and provoking one another and envying one another. Man, I mean, that's a mouthful right there. I didn't even want to get into all those sins because we'll be here all night. Whoa. And we like to talk about the bad ones, you know, what we consider bad, adultery and fornication and lewdness and sorcery and hatred and jealousies and selfish ambitions and envies. Hello. All of a sudden you start finding yourself in the list, you know, of things that you hadn't overcome. But you can overcome, and that's the whole point. You can do it with the power of God. You can do it by yielding to the Spirit. Maybe that old sin you keep committing, you keep repenting of, you know, and you keep going back and, well, I guess I'm just doomed to this is my cross to bear. It's my thorn in the flesh. No, it is not your cross to bear, and it is not your thorn in the flesh. Paul's thorn in the flesh was not some sin that he committed. Paul's thorn in the flesh was persecution, and you're never going to get rid of persecution. And your cross to bear is the reproach that you bear when you stand up for Jesus. It's, again, persecution. The cross you bear and the thorn in the flesh is persecution. It's not sickness. It's not disease. It's not weakness in temptation. Hallelujah, somebody. Yeah. The cross we bear is that people don't always agree with us and like us when we stand up for the Lord. That's the cross. The thorn we have in our flesh everywhere we go and stand up and say it loud and say it proud that Jesus is Lord and we're Christians is the persecution we get. Paul got it everywhere he went. He sought the Lord thrice for it to remove it. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. That's persecution is what he's talking about. He got it everywhere he went. Go read the book of Acts. He'd go from one city to the next city, and the Jews were on his case, trying to kill him. They stoned him, left for dead one time. He escaped over a wall another time. They just would hounding him. He says, Lord, remove this from me. God's, you're not going to remove persecution from you. Yeah. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, is what Scripture says. Yeah. And the cross that you pick up and carry is people calling you a Jesus freak. Calling you a nut. Well, I'm a nut for Jesus. Who are you a nut for? We're all nuts. Are you with me? I'd rather be a nut for Jesus. That's the cross we bear. Not, the whole world's not excited about the fact that we're born again and saved. Come on. I mean, you know that. But that's the cross we bear. That's not a whole lot to bear when you think of what the apostles went through and Jesus went through. Yeah. My. Goodness. Right. But now all this other stuff, overcoming temptation, yielding to the Spirit, and living holy, he's given us strength to do that if we'll learn to tap into it. That's good. And we get better and better. We're not going to get perfect. We won't be perfect till we get to heaven. In that respect, I'm complete spiritually in him. I'm born again, going to heaven. But I'm working on my salvation, working out my salvation, let's put it that way. Working out this witness. Working out my light that I'm shining. Hallelujah. And the same way I got saved is the same way I'm going to live for him. And there are some things we can do to walk in the Spirit. Real quick, let me go over some of these things. Turn to Luke 22. Luke 22, and this is not an exhaustive list. I was just thinking of some things that we need to do to overcome temptation. I think it's fascinating when you look into the Bible. Here's the case, and you're real familiar with it, I'm sure. When Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane the night that he was betrayed. Y'all remember that? And he prayed, and you know, he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And course, he submitted to the will of God concerning that. That is not a pattern for us to pray when we're praying for something that God has promised. The only way you can apply this prayer to your life is if God has asked you to do something very hard, and you know for sure he's asked you to do it, and you'd rather not do it, and you're asking him to let you get off and do it another way. And if he has another way, he may let you, and if he doesn't, you need to be willing to do what he asks you to do. In this case, he asked Jesus to come and die for our sins. Jesus said, I'm willing to die for their sins. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But this is hard, Lord. If it's possible, let this cup pass. But if not, if there is no other way, I will do what you say. Jesus didn't struggle with doing God's will. He was just hoping there was another way we could do this. Now, this has nothing to do with healing. A lot of people use this and they'll say, well, when you pray for healing, you ought to pray like Jesus did in the garden and say, if it be thy will. Well, no, we know what God's will is, healing. He wants us healed. Just like Jesus knew what God's will was, he wanted him to go to the cross. Isn't that right? But in his case, it wasn't a promise. It was a command that was a hard thing to do. The hardest thing anyone has ever done or ever will do is to go to the cross and lose your life in the way he did and took upon himself the sin of the whole world. I can't imagine what he struggled with to do that, but he did it as a man. He was God, but he's also a man. And he struggled with it as a man, but he didn't struggle with the fact that he was going to do it. He was going to do whatever God said. But he was hoping there was another way. Let this cup pass. But if not, if there is no other way, not my will but yours be done. That's what the struggle was. That's not like going to God and asking for healing and saying, Lord, heal me, but if not, your will, not mine, be done. Well, God said he'd heal you. That's like, I mean, you wouldn't go to God and say, I know you said that if I call on you, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know it's your will that I be saved, but Father, if it's not your will for me to be saved, go ahead and let me go to hell. What? Would you ever say that? I mean, no, it's his will to be saved. You pursue his will. Okay. So in this case, it was something entirely different. Actually, that's not even what I'm preaching on, but I thought I'd bring that out. But he was in the garden, and he had some disciples with him. You know the story. And they all got together, and boy, I mean, it's fixing to be test time. Test time is coming. They're fixing to come get him, and it's going to be tough. This is the biggest trial Jesus went through on earth, is this struggle that he went through here. And it says, Jesus said this in the 40th verse. Notice this. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Pray that you may not enter into temptation. Well, if I'm going to be led by the Spirit, so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, if I'm going to walk in the Spirit, so I won't be under the law, then I'm going to have to learn to pray when I'm tempted. Amen. Isn't that right? Because you can't do it on your own. I can't just do this without prayer. I can't do this without asking God to help me. Are you out there? Because if you're trying to do this without prayer, you're trying to do it on your own. You're back under the law again. You're trying to do it on your own will, your own strength, and God never ordained that to be. He never said you could do it. In fact, I think he's proved pretty well that we can't do this without him. The fact that Jesus came proves that we can't live for God without him. We can't be saved without him, and we can't live without him. So just like, you know, a person is going to have to learn to pray and call on God to be saved. I don't think there's, you know, another way to be saved? I don't know another way to be saved. I'm not aware of one. I think the only way to be saved is the way Jesus said. You know, he said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I think there's only one way to be saved, and that's what Jesus said it again, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't think you can get saved on your own. I think you have to go to Jesus. I believe the scripture's pretty plain, Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I think it's pretty plain you can't be saved on your own. Isn't that right? You couldn't be saved without praying. You couldn't be saved without calling on him. No way. Well, what he's saying here is, you're not going to overcome temptation without praying. So if you hadn't asked God to help you, how do you think you're going to live for God without God's help? You can't do that. See, this is not something you can do without him. Be saved, walk holy. Can't do it. You can't do it. You got to be walking in the Spirit. You got to be led by the Spirit to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And God's given us some great helps. I love that. I mean, He's given us some tremendous instruction and some great helps to help us along life's way. He saved us. He filled us with the Holy Ghost. He gave us His name and His word, and He ushered us into the church of God at large, and then expects us to join a local assembly to draw strength from in fellowship and relationships. So we can serve Him, because we can't do this on our own. He knew that. And He provided everything we needed to make it. You are not alone. Don't you buy the lie. I wish I could live for God. You can. With His help, you can. Anyone can live for God. Going to have to make some changes, I'm sure. The way you think, the way you act, the way you live, the people you hang around with. But if you'll do that, He'll help you. He'll live through you. Woo! Amen. I'm the only one getting this. I'm getting excited about this. I may start amening myself. Hallelujah. Preach it. Don't hang up now. So you know the case. They fell asleep. They didn't pray. And obviously they gave him temptation. I think it's significant here in this same chapter, just right off the bat here. You see Peter cratering just right off the bat in the same chapter. The great Peter. You know, the great foundation of the church. I mean, the apostle that stood up on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 people got saved, you know. Peter cut off the ear of the high priest's servant when they came to get Jesus. And this same, just chopped his ear right off. I mean, he's a man's man. Went up there, Malchus was the guy's name. I could see him with that sword. Whack, just whack that ear right off. Nobody's taking Jesus. And then he just kind of disappears. I don't know what happens to Peter after that. The Bible says Jesus took his hand up there and put his hand up on his ear and healed him. He said, put up your sword. But Peter immediately gives in to temptation. I mean, that very night, he told Jesus, I'll die for you. He said, no, you won't. You'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. Could it be that Peter fell asleep here and didn't pray like he told him to, twice, told him to pray, and they didn't pray? Peter couldn't do this without help. Jesus knew that. Jesus even prayed. He says, I pray that your faith would stand, because Satan wants to sift you like wheat. I'm praying for you, Peter. That's what Jesus said. And you know what? Peter cratered. He fell. Well, you know, don't just get on his case. We've all done it. There's reasons for it. When we try to do it on our own, man, if anybody tried to do it on his own, it would be Peter in this case. He's jumping up there with that sword and cutting that ear off. He's going to defend Jesus like Jesus needed to be defended, you know. And he's going to stand strong, but he ran just like the rest of them. And then he snuck in behind Jesus when they took him and went in amongst them outside where they judged him. And it says here, this is interesting, in the 55th verse. Notice what it says here. When they had kindled a fire, now this is after being arrested, 54th verse. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. I believe this is a real key thing if you're going to overcome temptations, you're going to live for God. You're going to have to hang around God's people. Amen. And you're going to have to watch whose fire you warm yourself up at. Amen. Amen. You need to learn to pray, and you need to learn the importance of fellowship. If we're going to serve God, we're going to have to do it God's way. If I'm going to live holy, I'm going to have to live holy God's way. If I'm going to be faithful to my wife, I'm going to have to do it God's way. If I'm going to not lie and be a man of integrity and character, then I'm going to have to learn to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to have to learn to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to have to take advantage of the things that God has made available for me to do this, because I was never made to do this on my own. He has given me prayer, hallelujah, to help me along life's way. And He's given me brothers and sisters to fellowship with, to pick up things from, relationships, develop relationships, godly relationships. Because if I get out there and I hang around people and I sit at the wrong fire, I'm gonna fall into temptation. Here's Peter right fresh off cutting off the man's ear. Fell asleep and should have been praying. And now he's sitting down at the wrong fire. Whoa. The next verse, 55th verse, let's read it again. Now when they kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him and said, woman, I don't know him. Wow. Now he's a liar and a denier. Traitorous, you know. After a little while, another man saw him and said, you are also one of them. And Peter said, no, man, I'm not. Twice. Then after about an hour had passed, he's still there an hour later, sitting by that fire. Then a wrong group, trying to serve God without God's people. Doesn't work real well. After about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow was also with them, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Whoa. Man, that just gets me all over when I read that. Can you imagine? Whew. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said to him, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Well, I imagine so. But think about this. Jesus told him what to do and didn't do it. Told him to pray and didn't pray. Are you with me? And how much, you know, Jesus talked about fellowship and hang around the right people. How much the Bible talks about that. You can't live that way. You can't hang around the wrong people and serve God. You can't do it. Because if you're trying to do it that way, you're trying to do it on your own. Isn't that right? You're not walking in the Spirit. You can't resist sin if you're not walking in the Spirit. I can't resist sin. Are you kidding me? If I just left church, decided not to come back to church, quit reading my Bible, quit praying, quit hanging around Christians, it wouldn't be long at all I'd be in sin. Oh, well, you're strong-willed. You could do it. No, I could not do it. No, I could not do it. No one's made to do it. No one can do this on their own. You can't get saved on your own. You can't live for God on your own. Mm-hmm. You need several things, really. Isn't it just a balanced life and it's a Christian life? It's what we're about. It's why we do what we do. It's why we come to church because we need church. It's why we pray because we need to pray. It's why we read the Bible because we need to read the Bible. It's why we fellowship because we need fellowship. It's why we stay humble and watch pride. Don't let pride get in because God resists the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. Know what it says? He gives grace to the humble. In fact, that's interesting. The two places that's mentioned, you know what he says in the next verse? Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You can resist the devil if you'll stay humble. If you have no humility about you, and you're just proudful, and you're doing it on your own, you won't be able to resist the devil. So you want to stay humble. I always say humble. You want to stay humble, or humble, or some bumble. Something. You want to stay humble. You want to pray. You want to watch your relationships. You know, what is it? Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, and the countenance of a friend sharpens the countenance of a friend. I love that. I'm sharpened by that, you know. I don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want to live for God. I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm washed in the blood. I'm a Christian. I'm blood bought. Hallelujah. Heaven is my home. I have an inheritance with the saints of light. But I want to please Him. I want to represent Him. I want people to see Him in me. I want to be a light and a witness, not a stumbling block to people. And I can't do that on my own. I need lots of help to do that. I need God's help to do that. I need to stay in the Spirit in order to do that. There's a whole list of things I can go and I'm never going to get to them all tonight. But you can understand the importance of getting inside of you God's Word, yielding yourself to the things that God has available. And if you'll yield to His strength, and you'll yield to His Spirit, and you'll yield yourself to then He will live through you, and you can overcome that addiction, you can overcome that temptation, that sin you seem to keep committing. Why don't you stop and pray when that temptation comes? Why don't you call a friend to help you? Why don't you get the Bible out and start reading the Bible and the promise, the great, precious promises of God that tell you that you are more than a conqueror, that you got the victory through Christ Jesus, that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. That you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, how you're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Start reading the word, build yourself up, and then by walking in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It takes effort. Takes commitment. Are you with me? I think besides praying and reading the Word, probably the greatest thing is changing your friends. Amen. Changing your fellowship. Get involved in church somewhere. Because you need that. I need church every Sunday. I need it every Wednesday. Amen. I need this good peer pressure. I need it. I'm amazed even, I'll just say this in passing. It's an object lesson or case in point. Our food ministry, which we talk a lot about, and I'm real excited about it. I think it's awesome what's going on out there and how many people volunteer. Just amazing the people that are helped out there and prayed for, and that lady gets saved this week. But it's kind of slow, but little by little, you'll see people getting they're drawn to God. Just week by week they come and they get prayed for, and everybody's so pious, and everybody just, God bless you, we're praying for you, and and they step into the presence of God is what they do when they get out there. They step into the presence of God, and they get a little hope. They don't just get a little food. They get a little hope. They get a little encouragement. And we have seen this more than one case where people have said, hey, can I come back and help? Yeah, come on, come back and help. And they'll come back and they'll help a little bit, and then for long, they show up in church. Are you with me? See, little by little, that influence, fellowship and the prayer is changing their lives. It's changing their lives. It's not about the food. Just bait. Oh, we want to help people that need help. Don't get me wrong. We do care. But there's something deeper we're doing there. Something deeper. And just the influence of Christians, just the influence of smiles and God bless you, and we're praying for you, and Mo praying, and everybody helping and smiling, and we're a church, and we're doing this because we love Jesus. Just that influence is just working on them week by week by week by week. Amen. And they start showing up, and they get saved, or if they're out of church, they get right, and oh, my. That's just case in point what we're talking about. Something they could never do on their own. They're getting around the influence of the Spirit. And the Spirit's doing for them what they couldn't do on their own. The Spirit flowing through us that we couldn't do without. That's right. Are you with me? I couldn't do. Are you kidding me? I couldn't pastor this church on my own. I couldn't stand up here and preach on my own. You've got to be kidding. When I was growing, Brenda will tell you this. There's one thing I did not like and was always nervous around and couldn't stand crowds. And God called me to pastor. Yes, that made a lot of sense. So I depend on the Holy Spirit to do this. And I believe he moves, and I believe he tugs at hearts and changes lives and brings his word alive. Hallelujah. We need him, and we can do this. We can do this through Christ. Amen? You can love, and you can overcome, and you can live right, and you can live holy, and you can overcome that sin. You can do it through Christ with his strength. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.